Welcome. This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I'm James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com this week, and we will get right into it with the never-ending soap opera of the story of Osama bin Laden. As the Pentagon hides files on the Osama bin Laden assassination, this from our friends at AllGov.com. In violation of federal rules, the Obama administration has attempted to hide from the public documents about the Navy SEAL raid that killed Osama bin Laden. Information about the mission was stored at the Department of Defense until Admiral William McRaven, the top U.S. Special Operations Commander, ordered the files be purged from the Pentagon computers and sent to the Central Intelligence Agency, where it will, of course, be more difficult for the media and the American public to access them. The move violates government rules regarding the archiving of official records and possibly the Freedom of Information Act. Transferring records from one agency to another requires approval from the National Archives and Records Administration, which did not occur, according to the Associated Press. Preston Golson, a CIA spokesman, told the Associated Press in an email, quote, "Documents related to the raid were handled in a manner consistent with the fact that the operation was conducted under the direction of the CIA director. Records of a CIA operation, such as the bin Laden raid, which were created during the conduct of the operation by persons acting under the authority of the CIA director, are CIA records," end quote. Golson also said it was absolutely false that the records were moved to avoid FOIA legal requirements. We'll include a lengthier piece from the Associated Press getting into this secretive move, keeping secrets ever more secret. And James, I would just really note what they're saying here, I know, always really struck me when it happened. And as we always really see in the world, 18 things are going on at once, and we're all being misdirected with our attention. So I always found it really interesting when they swapped the DOD and the CIA, that we moved Panetta to one, and we moved the other guy back, McChrystal, who's now out, you know, all, or I don't even remember the names now.
Petraeus.
Yeah. Petraeus, ah, thank you. And I always found that kind of, that it was just, you know, a seamless move, as if our military and our intelligence operations are one thing, which of course they're not supposed to be, but now they are. So James, I'll let you comment on that before we tie in the extra related parts.
Well, I would just refer people to an excellent editorial that Sybil Edmonds wrote on BoilingFrogsPost.com about this a few days ago, just showing how ridiculous all of this is. And it's, I mean, it's all smoke and mirrors and magic act, because when you have national security that's this smoke screen that you can invoke anytime you need in order to cover up records to your liking, then literally you have control over reality, or at least officially sanctioned reality. And there's no better example of that than with the Osama bin Laden raid, which we know we've been lied to every single which way, eight ways from Sunday. But again, they can just completely obscure all of those lies behind the cover and cloak of national secrecy by transferring the records out of the DOD, where they could be challenged in a court of law, into the CIA, where they can't be challenged. That national security operations coverage cannot be challenged in courts by the if it's a CIA record. So it was done specifically to cover it up. And of course, the National Archive Records Administration is supposed to oversee that transfer of records. It didn't. But again, all they have to say is national security, and nothing's going to come of it. No one's going to be prosecuted. No recourse is ever going to come from this. I guarantee it. And this will just be swept away. So it's just another aspect of this raid that's so ridiculous and so infuriating to people who know what really went on. Because, of course, even as the DOD is shifting the records out to the CIA so that they can be covered up, at the same time, with the other hand, they're giving them over to Catherine Bigelow and the other Hollywood creeps that made that Zero Dark 30 torture porn propaganda film. So it's a complete and total disgrace, an absolute disgrace, and nothing will ever come of it. No one is going to get up in arms about it. No one's going to get very, very angry about it. And it's just going to be business as usual there in Washington.
I believe the head of the good NSA, the National Security Archives, called this situation, quote, ridiculous. So, James, the interesting related part, and you and I were joking off camera before, is when I saw the stories, I wasn't sure which was which because they came out simultaneously. This coming from the BBC, leaked Osama bin Laden report reveals Pakistan failures. So incompetence and negligence allowed Osama to live in Pakistan undetected for almost a decade. A leaked government report suggests this would be the Abbottabad Commission that's now...
Total crap. Don't fall for it. It is a total psyop.
Speaking of psychological operations, James, we'll move to our second story this week for an original piece on eyesopenreport.com. As the NYPD has begun conducting multiple gas attack tests in the New York subway system. Beginning this past Monday, the New York Police Department and the U.S. Department of Energy's Brookhaven National Laboratory conducted the first of three chemical release tests that it plans to achieve in the month of July. Running on a $3.4 million Department of Homeland Security transit security grant, officials will disperse perfluorocarbon tracer gases through the subway tunnels across the city. Odorless and colorless, the gas will mimic how a chemical or biological weapon would react if released. Perfluorocarbons are usually reserved for finding leaks in hazardous waste containment systems. A news release on this test reads, quote, "Largest urban airflow study ever to better understand the risks posed by airborne contaminants, including chemical, biological, and radiological weapons as they are dispersed in the atmosphere and in the city's subway system," end quote. It's important to note, James, that this is not the first or second time that these kind of tests have been run. In 1966, a team of Army researchers and our good friends at Fort Detrick, who have brought us nothing but joy and love and rainbows and puppy dogs, dropped light bulbs loaded with what they regarded as harmless bacteria onto New York subway tracks and into its ventilation systems without notifying the public. I believe off the top of my head that one was called Operation Big City. And there was also a similar test in 2005 that they ran in Midtown Manhattan. James, the interesting piece from the New York Times has a lot of the people's reactions, which run from just bizarre, and they say, oh, well, you know, it already smells like poop, so, you know, what's the worst thing? Is it, that's already our mindset of like, oh, well, everything's already ruined, you know, what's the worst that could happen? Some of the comments from people, because New York Times notes the extremely paranoid responses that some people had. One guy said, they said corn syrup was harmless. And another guy notes, they always say, if you see something, say something. Well, I see a weird black box hidden underneath the benches. Somebody else says, let's turn New York City into a huge dome of lab rats. And finally, one guy joked that he'd see y'all at the class action lawsuit 10 years from now. So again, we kind of joke about all this stuff, but they're playing it as though this is totally harmless. And again, we should always, you know, take their word that these kind of things are harmless. However, a great piece on InfoWars getting into what they say, what they admit, what they think the gas will do. A 2011 study by the West Virginia University School of Medicine concluded, quote, perfluorocarbon, PFC, are associated with endocrine disruption in women and that further research on mechanisms is warranted. The InfoWars story, James, gets into a press release that was posted but then pulled, so it's tough to quote from something that's now been shoved down the memory hole, that allegedly acknowledges the fact that, yeah, we maybe don't know everything about perfluorocarbons, and, oh, it might sterilize you and might kick women into a premature menopause. But other than that, no, it's totally fine. Nothing to see here. Move along, James.
Well, exactly right. Well, this is clearly a psychological operation, but of what particular variety? Predictive programming, conditioning, revelation of the method, whichever one of these or combination of these it is, it certainly is trying to prepare and soften the public for this type of conduct to be normalized. And what else, what other role does that New York Times story play other than to normalize people to this type of behavior? We can joke about it, we can make comments, oh, we're all just lab rats now, but that just goes to further reinforce the idea that we are just lab rats and that they can do these experiments however they want, whenever they want, and there's no recourse. So it, again, leaves people feeling powerless and helpless against this. Again, it is important to understand that this is not the first time that they've done chemical live chemical testing on the public. They've been doing this for literally at least half a century, and again, there's a very well-documented history of bioweapons attacks that I've been through on the Corbett Report before, so I'll put in a link for flashback on that to talk about some of the past experiments that have even resulted in the deaths of civilians. But again, when the government does it, it's totally okay. And again, it doesn't take much imagination to see how, even if we were to say that the government is all populated with angels and no one would ever do something, well, if one person involved in one of these tests or operations got the idea to use this as a conduit for actually putting some sort of, you know, deadly toxic substance in, you would suddenly have a terrorist incident that could very easily be blamed on whatever political enemy of the moment is grabbing headlines, justifying whatever kind of war would need to be justified to get revenge for what happened in the New York subway. So we understand how these kinds of operations can be used to conduit real attacks, false flag attacks that can then be used in political leverage. It is just one giant psychological operation, and people should not be conditioned to it. Do not accept this. This is not normal, and the government should not have the power or authority to do this to their citizens.
You could, I mean, James, you can just go on your search engine of choice and start to just, you know, use your own state as an example and say, you know, the state of Oregon apologizes for, or North Carolina, and you'll find throughout the years, governments will on the record come out and say, yeah, sorry, we sterilized all these women. Oh, sorry, we tested biological gas on everyone and never let anyone know, and now you're suffering the birth defects. You can find all those things out, because eventually they do kind of come out, but 50 years too late. So, James, as we move to our third and final story, I at least want to quickly mention, as we've mentioned before, and a huge thanks to the folks that have done it, submitting stories that, James, you and I can't catch everything. So on Twitter, using hashtag New World Next Week. So for this New York subway gas attack story, I was aware of the story, but I want to thank at Exposin Falsehoods for tweeting the story and using the hashtag New World Next Week. Now, James, also, our third and final story this week, Shane Pollock also tweeted at us using hashtag New World Next Week. And using the previous story as an example, what could possibly go wrong? Oh, it's harmless. It's Oxford County, basically talking about his own decimated bee colony. And CBC goes on to say, this increasingly familiar scene, which is playing out across North America and Europe, worries beekeepers, farmers, and scientists who have been tracking the collapse of honeybee colonies over the past decade. In the process, two main camps have emerged, vigorously debating the root causes of the decline. Some scientists and insecticide companies suggest the bees are being overrun by an infestation of mites, while other observers suggest seeds coated with neonicotinoid insecticide, or neonics, are to blame. On July 9th, James, Ontario Premier Kathleen Wynne announced she convened a working group made up of a range of experts to study this issue and provide recommendations. Before I throw it back to you, this, I think, gives us the opportunity for me to mention a story that we didn't mention that happened a few weeks ago. Basically, the largest documented single bee die-off in North American history happened a few weeks ago in Wilsonville, here in Oregon. And a beekeepers association called the Xerxes Society have pretty much come out and said, yes, it was because they sprayed an insecticide called Safari. So, James, they spray gas on the subway and tell us not to worry about it. Now we look around and see our fundamental building blocks of life being destroyed. And we go, oh, I don't know, maybe it was mites, or maybe it was the industrial chemicals we've unleashed on the world, James.
Yeah, or some combination of factors. And let's not forget that even if it's just the simple overuse of pesticides, let's not forget that, in fact, genetically modified organisms have been found to require more pesticides than natural organic crops. Despite all of the hype and rhetoric and propaganda that's been sold around GMOs and what they're for, they actually require more pesticides. So again, that's not helping matters in any way whatsoever. So yes, basically the genome of the planet is being tinkered with in an open-air experiment that is having ramifications that we can only dimly be aware of at this point, and we start to see things like colony collapse disorder and other things becoming more prevalent, mass die-offs of birds and all of this sort of nightmare scenario things playing off across the globe. So it is extremely worrying, and I hope people are at least paying attention to this and not necessarily buying into the first explanation that comes along. I think there needs to be a lot more research much into this, but there's no doubt that we are fundamentally altering some of the very basic building blocks of the ecosystem, and it doesn't seem to be working out for the better, whether that's whether we look at human effects, such as cancer rates skyrocketing, or gastrointestinal and autoimmune disorders skyrocketing, and all of those other effects that we're seeing, or whether it's in the animals sphere, and we see the bird die-offs, or the colony collapse disorder, or these types of effects. So we are tinkering with things, and they are having extremely bad effects. And again, there's not a lot that you and I can directly do to stop this from happening, other than to absolutely stop our support for that system and to withdraw our support. As we've talked about so many times, do not feed the beast, do not give these companies and their manufactured crap your money, and hopefully we can at least withdraw our support from that system.
So, James, just quickly in closing on looking for the positive note, and I think we can do that. I saw in the news today that my old job, the grocery store, the independent Oregon-only grocery store chain that I used to work for, New Seasons Market, two New Season Market locations here in Portland each have new bee colonies on the roof, which I think is amazing, which is something that's going on more and more around the world. And as we see more importance being given to the food situation, James, as both of our works have gone more in that direction, I think, over the last couple of years, there is a conference coming up in Seattle in just a couple of weeks put on by Biosafety Alliance. It's a Justice Begins with Seeds conference in Seattle. I'm going to be going up there and hopefully grabbing some interviews for Food World Order and MediaMonarchy.com.
Excellent. Looking forward to it. And I think we'll leave things there on that note. But James, always a pleasure. Thank you for the three stories.
Thanks so much, man. Take care.